Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
We're going to start with a 2-at-2. Steve from Fox Sports Eugene will be joining us. I'll give my bold predictions for the NFL season. Caveat, NFL season already started. I got a little head start. All that coming up. But first, the 2-at-2.
The 2-at-2.
34-20 was the score as the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Houston Texans on a Thursday night football. Andy Reid's face shield became a story. It fogged up. John Harbaugh in Baltimore said, I'm not going to do that. I don't want that fogged up thing. But now the focus turns to the first weekend of NFL action. News reports and the headlines include, quote, Tom Brady's arm stronger than last year, end quote. I don't know how that could be. Stronger than last year, Tom Brady? I don't know if it matters. What does matter is, how is Tom Brady going to play in an offense that doesn't have Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick or the Patriots logo hanging over the top of it? It's going to look funny to me in a Buccaneers uniform. It is the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend, is just seeing what Tom Brady looks like in that uniform. Not even what he plays like. What does he look like? Second thing in my 2-at-2. The NFL has started and now is a center stage. It is. But the NBA, which has done such a good job with its playoffs, still has a couple of playoff games tonight. Denver and the Clippers. Clippers up 3-1 in that playoff series. That will be starting at about 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on TNT. Boston and Toronto tied 3-3, heading to a Game 7. That's the nightcap at 6 p.m. NBA, keep doing what you've done, because I think the NBA, as critical as I have been of that league over the recent years, did so much right between March and right now, and is about to be overshadowed by a league in the NFL that has just got a bigger audience and a bigger footprint. Rockets, Lakers tomorrow. NBA playoffs will continue to crawl along, but I think they're going to get lost a little bit here. Yes, there's tennis going on. Yes, Major League Baseball going on. Yes, we're talking about the college football season and a lot to be determined with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. But ultimately, the NBA did some things right here, but by no fault of its own, is about to be overshadowed. That's my 2-at-2. We do it every day on the show. Judah Newby, NBA fans, and the NBA as a league, they're going to be overshadowed. Do I have that right?
I think part of it, too, is tip-off times. Like, Lakers-Rockets tipped off at 4 o'clock last night. It got out of hand in the first half. Then you add the Chiefs-Texans kickoff at 5:20. So whatever audience the NBA could have captured would be in that first 90 minutes, but the game got, it wasn't competitive. So they kind of, you know, lost it because the Lakers were so good. I'll be interested to see, though, what the Lakers-Clippers series, that should get eyeballs. It really should.
Maybe.
You know, Boston-Miami, yeah. Might maybe not as much if Boston wins Game 7 tonight. I mean, here's the thing, man. Now you don't have to compete with the NFL tonight. You got a Game 7, and you got the Clippers trying to go to the Western Conference Finals for the first time. Their numbers should be good tonight, and I'll be interested what the LeBron-Kawhi factor has on non-Monday, non-Thursday, non-Sunday game dates.
The NFL, like during NFL season, doesn't the NFL just take over Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like the discussion?
Yeah, it certainly does. And that's why it was going to be intriguing when we found out that there would be playoff basketball played in September, played in October. The NBA Finals, the peak of the NBA season, is going to be up against some big-time NFL and some big-time college football, you know, for the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12. I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Silver is not talking with, you know, Roger Goodell and some other execs you know, to try to schedule some finals games that are not on Thursdays and Sundays and Mondays. But best of luck. That schedule might be set, but they're going to try to avoid those island games if possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not ideal. The NBA finals usually taking place in June, spilling into late June, and normally it has the stage pretty much to itself. Like, the pennant races in baseball are not at full swing, and March Madness is over, and there's just lull that the NBA fills with its playoff season, and we're getting a look right now at it trying to go head-to-head with the NFL. I don't think the NBA wins that. Steve Woodward, Fox Sports Eugene, K-O-R-E. For listeners of Fox Sports Eugene, here is the guy. This is the guy who makes it possible in Eugene. He's joining us now. That's your baby down there, Core, Fox Sports Eugene. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
Give us an idea. Like, why? This is like a WKPR in Cincinnati story. That, you know, what got you into radio? Why did you want to be a guy who had a station?
Well, boy, that's a long story, but I'll try to make it concise. I started as a roadie for rock bands in L.A. in the Sunset Strip when I was in my teens and early 20s. And I have a good friend who's actually the drummer for the band Korn. If anyone knows the band Korn, I used to be a roadie for a guy named Ray Luzier. And I came up to the University of Oregon and helped start the student radio station, KWVA. And literally get it on the air with the help of, like, Bob Packwood helping us get the license and getting the equipment and building the studios. And that process gave me the bug, so to speak. And I've worked in radio and television ever since that time. And everything I did was to gear me up, to prepare me for an opportunity like I have when I bought Core in 2016.
For those listening in Fox Sports, Eugene, give a tip of the cap to Steve Woodward, who is your general manager and station owner there, 1050 AM and 95.7 FM. I have to slow down when I say that. Steve, before we talk any more radio or Oregon Ducks or Oregon State, what's life as a roadie like?
Oh, boy. Well, to keep it family friendly, you're the first one up in the morning and you're the last one to bed at night. And it is hard work. It's not as glamorous as those who are on stage, necessarily. There are perks, and we won't get into those. And I will just say that, you know, it was a lot of fun to be associated with the music business. I had a blast.
Is it true? Is the groupie scene like it's depicted in the movies?
To some extent, yes, and to some extent, it doesn't exaggerate enough.
So much said.
I will also say this, that there were some places you went that you went, okay, what band was here last week? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, man. And how about bands in particular? Because you always see, like, the bands who have those tremendous writers when they go play somewhere. You know, they got to have no green M&Ms in the bowl and all that stuff. As a roadie, were you tasked with any of that, or were you mainly dealing with the band and sort of the middleman between the band and everything that the band needed?
Well, you usually have a tour manager who's the guy that goes between the band and the venue and the band and management. I did a little bit of tour managing, but I mainly did a lot of work as a roadie, and you were focused on either an individual band member and their gear to make sure you had everything ready for them to go on stage and sound perfect, you know, as well as tuning the guitars or tuning the drums or tuning the bass while they were on stage to make sure that they had enough instruments to swap out back and forth to keep everything moving smoothly. As far as writers with, like, the green M&Ms in it, I'll tell you a little secret on those. A lot of bands put in crazy things in their writer just to see if the venue actually paid attention and read the writer to make sure that all of the details that they do need are actually taken care of.
I love that. Yeah, it's one of those. It's a symptom, right? If they, hey, if they took care of the details, if they took care of the M&M bowl, they took care of everything.
Exactly.
I love that. Steve Woodward, Fox Sports Eugene, general manager, station owner. The Oregon Wildlife Family Fund, we set that up through the Bald Faced Truth Foundation this morning. I want to thank you and your station for the support of that. You've got a lot of people in your area that have been affected by either evacuations or loss of property or, frankly, people who are just nervous and anxious. Why is that important to you as somebody who's involved with the radio station?
Because we're one big community. We're all in this together. First of all, for the first responders and everyone that's out there working right now, thank you isn't even an adequate enough statement. There are so many people that have mobilized to help people evacuate, to help people save their homes, to help people who have lost their homes, to help feed the first responders that are dealing with all of the emergencies to put out. It's our community, and if you're not a good citizen of the community, what are you doing in the community?
Go to baldfacetruth.org if you would like to make a tax-deductible donation. What is the air like where you are? How nervous are you personally with the station and staff there and also your own home and well-being?
Well, I'll put it this way. I lived in Northeast Portland when St. Helens blew its top. I went to Rigler Elementary School in Northeast Portland in May of 1980 when St. Helens blew its top. And I worked in the safety patrol. So you were one of the kids that wore yellow outfits and had the flags with the stop signs on them to help kids cross the street safely on the busy street to get to school on time. And I remember ash and clouds and smoke. A lot like this, except for the campfire smell and the fact that it's volcanic ash as opposed to wood ash, this paints a scene a lot like that for me. And I'm having a lot of flashbacks, and you're looking around going, wow, this is just like when I was a kid with St. Helens blew its top. So the visibility is not very good here. Our staff are doing fine. We've got air filters to try to keep the air as clean as we possibly can in here so it doesn't affect the equipment. And our engineer, as an example, he had to evacuate. He had a level 3 and had horses and turkeys and dogs and cats and had a major evacuation to get out of his place. Fortunately, his was saved. And for those of you who are big buffs on the covered bridges, the Good Pasture Bridge near Dexter Lake so far has survived. There's a lot of devastation, but that's one of the big landmarks that's actually survived so far.
We're talking to Steve Woodward, Fox Sports Eugene, general manager, station owner. All right, I started today's show by saying, look, I'm not going to stick to sports. We never do, really. Do you get calls from people who say, why isn't he talking about college football?
At first, we did. We would get a few that would either get a hold of us through the website or call in and say, hey, look, you know, I really tune in for sports. But as things progressed, especially now, the information, whatever information people can provide is greatly appreciated, and so you don't have that stick to sports as much.
You know, you never, to your credit, I never hear that from you. Like, I never hear you going, hey, could you keep it more to sports or anything like that? So, you know, I appreciate that you get it. I appreciate that the vast majority of the listeners understand that we're all in this together and there's a way to weave what's really going on in the world and what's going on with our families and Barbie dollhouses and people nervous about evacuating along with the sports as well.
It's just one big circle of life and we're all part of it. And fortunately, people recognize that. And we've got a lot of good people that listen.
Steve, you're also a longtime donor and ticket holder at the University of Oregon. You've been around the program as a media member, and of course you own the station and operate the station there in Eugene. What do you think is going to happen with the Pac-12 season, the University of Oregon season, and how tuned in and connected do you feel to the athletic department right now?
Boy, I'm hopeful. The testing announcement that came out with is it pronounced Quidel? That announcement made me very hopeful. I think that if they can get it to the standard of care that you have for the NFL teams, I think we could see something around Thanksgiving if everything progresses. But even if it doesn't happen, I'm more hopeful now, I have more of the belief that even if Thanksgiving doesn't happen, that January season is more likely now.
I appreciate what you do, Steve. I appreciate the staff and the shows on Fox Sports, Eugene. And, of course, I love that you guys air this radio show, and you're a huge part of the reach of this show. So thank you for what you do.
And we appreciate you, John. Thank you.
All right. Steve Woodward at Fox Sports, Eugene, K-O-R-E. If you want to give to the Wildfire Family Fund, State of Oregon Wildfire Family Fund, you can go to baldfacetruth.org to make a donation. Those donations up to $1,000 are matched, so your donation will be double. I want to thank Donna Mason, who made a donation. I appreciate you, Donna. I want to thank Ryan West, a longtime donor of the BFT Foundation. He and his wife have been longtime supporters, great people who care about kids in the community. And Ryan, I want to thank you and your wife for your support. I want to thank Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, and who made a donation just a few minutes ago. And I want to thank Daschle, who is a guest on this show, and he puts his money where his mouth is. He's taking care of people in the community. Thank you, Daschle, for that. I appreciate you. Anna's going to pop in the studio. We're going to talk some sports. I'll give my three predictions for the NFL season. They are can't miss, surefire predictions, hold my feet to the fire. These three things I'm going to share with you in the next segment will absolutely come true. I want to thank some of the kind-hearted people out there who have made donations to the Oregon Wildlife Family Fund. The Baldfaced Truth Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit, all-volunteer organization, no paid employees, so 100% of what you give gets passed to people in need. I just want to give credit to some of the people who have made donations. If you want to make a donation right now, you can go to baldfacedtruth.org, and you can find it very easy there to make a tax-deductible donation. Stegan Smith, I appreciate your donation. Brad Durham, I appreciate the donation that you've made. Kerry Reinking made a donation. Austin Meek, former columnist at the Eugene Register-Guard, made a donation. Lynn Thompson, thank you, Lynn, for your donation. Russell Rexius, thank you, Russell, for your donation to help families who are in need during this time. Kim Albert made a donation. Appreciate that, Kim. And Catherine Pinson, donation. David Nuvo, who is a musician in the Junction City area, he made a donation. David, I appreciate you. Longtime listener, friend of this show, and a terrific musician. Check his stuff out. Carl Schinkel, thank you, Carl. Multiple donor he has given to the BFT Foundation over the years. Larry Warline, thank you, Larry, for your donation and support of families in our community. Joseph Siafi made a donation. Thank you, Joseph, and thank you to Andrew Martin, who is a longtime donor of the BFT Foundation. Andy Belts, thank you for your donation. And John Dillon, thank you for your donation. And Bill Marquard, thank you, Bill. And Lisa Kunau, thank you, Lisa, for your donation to help families in need during this time. And Mark Waldrop, who has been involved with Camp Exceptional and made donations over the years, thank you, Mark, for your donation. Pete Charleston, thank you, Pete. Means a lot to us. Lars Jacobson, thank you, Lars. Thank you, Brian Greeninger, for making a donation to the Oregon Wildlife Family Fund. And Will Ayers, I appreciate you, Will. And Jeff Cato, who is a familiar name to me as I see the donors over the years. And Daniel Erickson, thank you, Daniel. And Donna Mason, longtime listener of this show, huge sports fan in the state of Oregon, and somebody who is pops up all the time when there's a need. Thank you, Donna. Ryan West, I mentioned him last segment. Ryan and his wife at the beginning of the pandemic came forth and said, hey, how can we get involved? How can we help kids in the community? And what can we do? And I appreciate Ryan and his wife who have got big hearts. And Nick Daschle of the Oregonian made a donation. Thank you, Nick. And Kelly Griffin. Thank you, Kelly, for your donation just a couple minutes ago. And a couple of donors who want to remain anonymous have also made donations. I thank everybody out there who's made that part of their day and cares about kids in the community. Anna has popped in with us. Anna, what the heck's going on?
I'm going to cry again. You're reading off all those names, and it's just, it's really heartwarming that people are opening their hearts that way and helping people in our community who badly need it right now. Because, you know, I think the coolest part about that is that we know that the money stays here. It's helping our neighbors. It's helping the people who live here in our area, in our region. It's not going to some other part of the country. And we'll certainly share with you the stories of, you know, how people are helped with the donations that you are putting in right now.
And, yeah, and that's part of what we're doing here. To be clear, listeners in Klamath Falls, if you give in the Klamath Falls area, your funds, your donation will stay in that relative vicinity to help people who are in your area. If you're in Eugene or Junction City or Springfield and you make a donation, it's going to help families in that vicinity. In Salem, same thing. And in Portland, in the metropolitan area, same thing as well. Now, I don't think anybody donating is going to be, you know, quibbling if, all right, that went to Salem, but I live in Clackamas. No, we're not talking about doing it that way. But I want to be clear that one of the problems I have in this whole thing is I'm a fixer.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to help.
You and I both. Today and we're like, wait, okay, so what can we do? Like, I'm reaching out to firefighters that we know. Like, okay, what kind of supplies do you guys need? What can we, you know, what can we do to support your efforts? And, you know, you're creating this fund, and it's really, it's what we do because you feel helpless. Like, you want to be able to help. And we try to figure out the best way to do that.
And me, I'm a little slow. Okay, I know I want to help. I don't know what I want to do.
Okay.
And yesterday on the show, I'll be honest, Mark Waldrop called in and talked to Bella, mm-hmm. I believe. Bella, did Mark Waldrop talk to you? Is that you took the call yesterday from somebody?
Yes, that.
Okay, what did he say?
He asked if there was anything you've set up to help donate to the families that are potentially losing their homes.
All right, so Mark, who has been a longtime donor, by the way, when she pops on, Judah, it's like a UFO is landing.
Started.
Something going on there.
Inspect that studio. What's happening?
But Mark, full credit, Mark. It was Mark's spark, and I was like, oh yeah, that could fit within the mission of the BFT Foundation, which is to support growth and joy in kids, you know, in our communities, right? And so if there is a family that's got kids who are facing, like, you know, what are we going to do while we wait for insurance to handle our place where we're going to live, or school supplies, or things that have been lost during, evacuation or fire, we're here for that. And so Mark did that. And then a second Mark emailed me this morning and said, look, if you guys have any kind of fund going, I will match. And then he called in and said he would match up to $1,000. Well, what happened after he called in is right away, people started calling in with $500 donations, $1,000 donations, $100 donations. And I think about the size of this audience that listens to this show on a daily basis. I know that there's 60,000 people who will tune in and out of this show. There's no donation that's too small when there's 60,000 of you. And you combine Anna's social media reach is like 30,000, 40,000 people. You combine the social media reach of myself and the stations, Fox Sports Eugene and 750 The Game in Portland and in Klamath Falls, 960 AM. And now all of a sudden you're talking about getting to 100, 150,000 people. If everyone, you know, gives a modest amount and does what they can, we suddenly have the ability to dramatically impact at least the short term for some families who are probably looking around bewildered right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's part of it too, is, you know, a lot of us are trying to figure out what to do and how best to help. And I don't know about you, but I get kind of this helpless feeling because we're not really supposed to be driving all around town right now. We're supposed to keep the roads kind of clear for the people that are trying to evacuate. So it's not like we want to be out and about too much. So this is just a very direct way that we can get help to the people who need it in a relatively quick manner, because that's the thing with our foundation. It's there's no overhead, man. There's like John and me and some dedicated volunteers, and it ain't a lot of red tape. So it's not a lot that not a lot of steps that have to be taken for us to disseminate the funds to the people who need it.
And that's what I like about it, is it's nimble. Everyone talks about that. We want to be nimble. We're nimble. There's like three people who make decisions on the grants, that requests that come in online, and believe me, we're getting crushed already with requests from, you know, the start of the school year in mm-hmm. distance learning. So if you're just somebody out there that wants to support education, when you go to baldfacedstreet.org, you can go to the Wildlife Family Fund and you can give there if that's what you want to do. Also, within that ability to donate, there were a couple of people this morning that donated classroom supplies and some other things because, hey, I'm on the website, might as well help out. So I appreciate everybody who just gets it. And look, we have this platform. That is, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, the worst feeling for me would be to have this platform and not even think that we could do something that means something with mm-hmm. it. I could tap dance. I could do this radio show, fill some airtime, have a lot of people listen because they care about sports. But in the end, like, I want to look back and go, hey, we did something.
Well, I mean, that's, I think, why we started the foundation years ago, because we both kind of realized that we had these platforms. We realized that we could reach people in an interesting way. And I was always coming across people who needed help, like specifically kids who needed help. And, you know, you and I both benefited from public high schools where we were in student government. We played sports. We did all kinds of activities and extracurriculars. And, you know, we know that those are kind of on the chopping block when the budget cuts come. And that's really the genesis of our foundation, is we went, well, gosh, this kid wants to do art, or this kid wants to do theater. This kid needs, you know, $150 to play football. It's probably way more than that now. And it was just really hard for us to fathom the idea that a kid wouldn't be able to do those kinds of things simply because their family couldn't afford the activity fee.
Brian Wason, I appreciate your donation. We've also had Shelley Brown make a donation in the last few minutes. Thank you, Shelley. Three other donors who are all anonymous have made donations. Thank you, Anonymous. I know you're out there. I appreciate that. I'm going to give my three surefire, can't miss, five-star, this is going to happen predictions in the NFL coming up. Anna's going to give three predictions that have nothing to do with the NFL coming up.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.